This is unfair. This guy is like a fucking radio guy or something, and I feel like I'm being,
Who? Me?
you. Yes.
No.
Mister. All right. Say welcome back to K107 Easy Hits. Say it.
No.
Oh yeah.
However, I
Because
will
you're
go.
tired of
Thank
saying
you for
that
tuning in
every
once
day.
again, ladies and gentlemen. This is, of course, Jim Morrison, and you are live with us.
Hello and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that was on its way to Cuttlefish Jackson's End of the World rent party, and then a large, angry black man told us that the apocalypse had been cancelled. So we sent the girls home and just hung out.
Boo.
My name is Scott.
We're going for the dead air motif right now. I'm Jim. You've heard me before, folks. Come on.
That's great. My name is Elias P. Williams. I am from Escuta, Mississippi. I was born in Escuta, Indiana, which is an odd coincidence. But anyway, let's get back to the show.
Now one of us, Jeff.
Hey, well, as soon as the opening is like, fuck it, I'm doing it.
Nope. The
enthusiasm. I'm obviously not going to win this battle, so I might as well join it.
You can cut the enthusiasm with a knife in here. Yeah. It's wonderful. My name is Justin Moharab. I am the co-host of Squid Eye and the Bitter Guy and a Thursday night member with Scott. And I am here because he said who likes Pacific Rim when I threw my hand up like an eager five-year-old in first grade.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay. This is how I get all my people, is I find the eager five-year-olds.
Huzzah.
It's that or you do, hey, you want the podcast? You want to podcast? We give you podcast. Yay!
Scott, what does that make me and Jim? Because we've been here a bunch of times.
I don't know. You're still
desperate for attention.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
It's not something shameful in this, you know, modern society.
No, there's a lot of people who are celebrities for the sake of being celebrities, and they can all burn in hell.
Don't speak ill of the Kardashians.
Hey, man. It's very important that we need a 24-hour news cycle telling us that there's a new king of Belgium. Oh, wait. Sorry. Wrong royal watchers. Fuck those guys.
So what is Paris Hilton up to? Doom. Oh, my God. She's only 32. Fuck. She's been incredibly annoying since she was far too young. Anyway.
Okay. So you still have some time left to submit a gag Kickstarter funding level and or stretch goal. In order to win a copy of Batman Arc for the Xbox 360.
How many entries have we gotten?
We are up to 3.
Yes!
That it's is really one for thing. Every 100 downloads we get normally get. 1%.
Woo!
We're doing it for you guys.
Getting interesting marketing information out of this.
Yes.
Well, we keep telling people to try and use snail mail to track us down, but maybe it's just not working.
If somebody actually manages to send me their idea in the mail, they win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
I don't care how dumb the idea is. They win if they're actually able to pull it off.
That's a challenge, folks.
That is a challenge.
Slap a stamp on an envelope.
And just think, now you know where Jeff was born.
There you go.
Hey there. You have a starting point.
Yep. And, okay, so pick of the week, where we pick a thing for the week. Jim, you go first.
Okie dokie. Trying to figure this out today. Part of me wanted to go with, you know, a bone to pick of the week, but I was like, nah, I'm not directly pissed off enough at any particular thing outside of Canadian politics to really merit a response like that. So I went with Evil Dead. Because
the new one?
Yes.
The musical?
No. I haven't seen the musical. I need to. It sucks
You're
that
a
I haven't.
Human being. Oh, my God. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
No. The new one came out last week.
Stop.
What?
Evil Dead musical? What the hell?
It's the only stage production with a splash zone.
Yep.
What is it,
the first three rows?
Depends on the production.
Oh, okay.
My brain hurts.
No, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I have the music saved in my computer. I've just never seen it. Seriously.
I've been twice. I was right in the splatter zone. I have a nice shirt downstairs. I saw it 4 years ago. I have a shirt downstairs that still isn't dry.
Yeah.
I don't know what that fake blood they use is, but it still gets off on my fingers. It rubs off on my fingers every time I touch it.
4 years, it's still tacky. It's probably the corn syrup mix that I've used before.
Okay. Well,
thanks. 9 hours in a cold bar, they had to peel me off of the chair. Nearly killed a friend of mine when she was trying to pull my apron off and stumbled into traffic.
All I'm saying is if I'm in a bar for 9 hours, they usually have to peel me out of a chair too. But, you know.
Yes, but that's for different reasons. And somewhat unrelated to Evil Dead.
True.
Somewhat.
Only somewhat.
Yeah. But yeah.
But yes,
no.
So you enjoyed the new version.
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it immensely. There was some nice little throwbacks to the classic stuff. The number of people that I knew at work who had seen it when it came out originally, like when it came out earlier in the year, and they were like, it wasn't as funny as I remember the first Evil Dead, and I just glare angrily at them. Because if you somehow don't know, Evil Dead 2 is not the first Evil Dead.
Well, that's
why
it has a 2
should have
title?
Been your big fucking tip-off. But there's a lot of people that don't seem to realize that. But yeah, it's bloody, it's gory, it's over the top, it's a blast and a half. I enjoyed the crap out of it. Plus, they used sashimi for some of the prop work in it, which I didn't know until I was watching the special features. And I like sashimi.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff!
It's a luncheon meat. It's a special effect.
Yeah. I'm throwing it to you,
man. Hey,
throwing
it
what'd you like?
Yeah.
Well, we got to keep the tradition going. I pick as DBZ Abridged. Another episode just dropped today. It's funny as hell. I want Krillin throwing a senzu bean at someone being the new thing. Senzu bean!
Oh, no, that was his job on the show until the end, basically.
Scott, you go.
Okay, so I'm going to... My pick of the week is just something I should have picked maybe like 4 months ago, which is American Pie on Rock Band.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, it's just... You know, if you're going to end your DLC campaign of 5 years of weekly releases of cool stuff, that's probably a good enough song to end it on.
I called it. When they first announced, and they were like, it's going to be a suitable song, I'm like, it's totally going to be American Pie. The fact that it's
the
long
died?
Version is great. Hmm?
The Day the Music Died? How I
yep,
was.
Exactly. That's why. That's why it's predictable. That's why it suits. That's why I got home that day and it was ready for download. I downloaded it and played the crap out of it.
The one song, even if you can't sing very well, you can sing that song and it still sounds all right.
Yep.
And I can't sing worth a shit. I can sing that song. It doesn't turn out so bad.
Have they ever released the Saga Begins by Al Yankovic?
Nope.
No.
No.
And not
this is a
happen
shame.
Now.
Not gonna happen.
You can just do it along to that, I guess.
Yeah, like it just picks up on the pitches. You can say whatever words you like.
Or if you're really, really manic about it, put on no fail mode.
Yeah.
Or sing whatever the hell you want.
Exactly.
You pretty much have to do that anyway.
Blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Okay. So is it my turn?
It is now your turn.
Okay, and is there any particular parameter? I'm just going to...
No, there's no...
Pick anything in the universe.
Not Gundam Major Seed.
Thrillbent Comics. They're an online comic company. Not really, you know, sort of web comics, sort of, but done by professionals. There's two books I'm reading that I'm loving. Insufferable, which is sort of about Batman and Robin, but Robin grows up to be a dickbag, and Batman has to deal with it. And
so it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just a matter of picking the right Robin in that context.
Yeah. But Danger. Without all the baggage of a larger world around it. It's more tightly character-driven. And then there's another one called The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood, which is sort of Breaking Bad-ish. You know, you've got a teacher working in a prison and he starts to get involved with prisoners to pay for his son's medical expenses. So it's very Breaking Bad-ish, but still very good. So, you know, basically you get in, you start reading the comics, and if you're lucky, you can read them one at a time and not burn through them while you're supposed to be doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a whole bunch.
That never happens with online comics. Never.
It's crazy.
There's a, you know...
Your only real hope is to find one that's still only got a few dozen issues. Then, you know, you don't feel like you've wasted 3 days.
It's never a waste of 3 days.
What were you going to do with those 3 days anyway?
Sometimes
really?
It's a waste of 3 days, but not in this case. So yes, Thrillbent Comics. Thrillbent.com.
Woo.
So good, I would read them for money. I would pay money to read them.
Okay, yeah, because that sounded more like they were so good somebody should pay you to read them. And it's like, that's usually a negative.
It's usually not a good thing.
Yeah, that is the state of Marvel and DC these days for me.
Yeah. Well, DC, anyway. I'm finding some of Marvel's books pretty good.
Some of them are good, but it's the usual, so long as this doesn't get focus, it's worth a read.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can point directly at Avengers of any caliber and any Spider-Man book that isn't Scarlet. And I want to punch everyone.
Really? We apparently see things differently.
Except Remender. I'm not going to punch Remender. He got a lot of good pathos for Dark Angel Saga.
Well, what about
nothing to do with anything.
What about Hickman's Avengers? He blew
the
up
Avengers
vagina. How did
you
not love
frat
that?
Boys? When they remind me of frat boys, then we have a problem. When they continue to remind me of frat boys, we have an even bigger problem.
I think that's an interesting observation.
Well, what is the Avengers except a really dumb frat with a terrible dress code?
Well, that depends.
I mean, they've got a house and everything.
And they, you know,
it depends on who's running it, Iron Man or Captain America.
Does that make Henry Gyrich the cranky dean?
Yes.
I'm cutting you down, Stark!
Yep. Only makes a fucking Dyson sphere. God damn it. You can't just pull that out of your ass and pretend it's okay. Fuck.
But he's not better.
Nope.
No, not at all.
Keep this up, it's going to turn into age all over again.
No, we're here to talk about something happy.
Something
that brings us joy to our nerd place.
Yep.
Yay, Pacific Rim.
Something that touches us in our nerd bathing suit areas.
We should probably throw out the "this is going to be spoiled all to fuck."
Well, and really, if you haven't seen it yet,
what's wrong with you?
You live in Japan because they're the only place that hasn't gotten the movie yet.
We're sorry,
which makes
Japan.
No damn sense. What is Japan?
No, Japan always gets its big blockbuster in August.
Yeah,
they've delayed. Lucasfilm had a big push to release Episode 3 on everywhere at once, and Japan was like, "No, we're waiting till August because we always do August for big movies." It's like, that's weird, but okay.
Apparently, they're doing some very impressive voice actors for the dubbing, and
yeah,
that's what I've heard. Because I look at them like, I don't know nothing but Japanese actors. Sorry.
No, they're actually really good. It's weird that the Kikuchi's not dubbing herself though.
Well, you ever play? Oh God, I completely zoned to my series names here. There was a Capcom game whose name completely escapes me all of a sudden, in which Jean Reno was in it. He voices himself in French, but doesn't voice his character in English.
Oh, the third Onimusha?
Thank you! Yeah. Yes, I don't know why I completely lost the name Onimusha, but yeah, no. He voices himself in French, but not in English, because I guess Jean Reno doesn't speak English? Nobody's ever seen The Professional? Ever?
Maybe they saw Godzilla.
Maybe they saw Godzilla.
That is not
funny. I think the guys over at Koei saw Godzilla and were like, you know what, no.
At which point you start bludgeoning them with copies of Leon. You keep hitting them until they forget how to speak. And you get Jean Reno to do his own damn voice. But that's unrelated to any of this.
Granted, I mean, I guess they had the opportunity to put Megumi Hayashibara in a thing.
Yeah.
And that will always.
That moves merch.
That will move things. And it's oddly appropriate that it's her, I think. But, yeah.
Should we get to spoiling this thing?
Well, let's
spoil this
movie.
Motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so giant monsters attack, and we win. Yay!
We win!
That's the short version, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that is the ridiculously short version. That is the you walked into the theater, got up, and left version.
Like, but no. Starts off with the... I mean, the anime trope, as soon as I see they come out with the two brothers, these things require two people to pilot them because they have to, what do they call it, rift or drift.
Ridge.
It's drifting.
Mind drift, so each one, each person controlling one hemisphere of the brain is controlling it. Anyway, as soon as I saw two brothers walk out, I'm like, oh, one of you guys are dead.
Yep.
And based on the fact that you I see in the movie posters, I think you're fucked, sir. And I was right.
Thank you very much for coming out. We appreciate your service.
Right.
You know what? Well, they even say he's the older brother. I mean, all he needs to do now is mention a girl back home and, you know, pineapple salad, and you know he's gone. Yep.
It's like, wow.
Give us some indication he knows how to play guitar or possibly wear sunglasses all the time.
See, what they should have done is the guy should have knocked on his door, checked on his brother. Brother was sitting there wearing sunglasses, strumming a guitar with a bowl of pineapple salad next to him, next to a picture of his girlfriend. You're like, oh, my God.
Yep. You he has his grandmother's ring on his hand.
As soon as you get into the suit, you will spontaneously combust into flames.
Yeah. Whatever you do, do not point yourself directly at the enemy. Oh, wait.
Damn.
Actually, so one of my favorite things off. Right at the beginning that I absolutely love, the first time they show you the kaiju, the music in the background, the classic Godzilla-style heavy drums orchestral sound. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this, and I'm like, I could totally go home and watch 1951 right now. Yep. And I would be in a wonderful place. This is beautiful. This is gorgeous. Like 30 seconds in the film. What the fuck do you got for me? And oh, did
it's
we
it's only downhill from here. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no,
no
it's terrible. It's don't go see this movie.
Yeah.
Just go to your ticket counter, buy like 24 tickets, and give them to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes,
That
okay, so the kaiju, yeah, they get stronger. They're able to take them down with more powerful giant robots. And then someone decides, in their utter stupidity and their self-realized genius, you know, we're going to stop building these robots. We're going to build a big fucking wall.
Well,
that's why they thought it was a good idea. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not even like it's a wall that's electrified and has lasers every 50 feet. No,
no
it's just
a
wall,
concrete embankment. This, you park your car next to this on like a daily basis. They just made it 5 billion times bigger. And they're like, this is going to stop the thing that has been wrecking its way through everything it comes in contact with. Its blood
now,
is toxic.
Even if it stopped them, you're just going to end up with an increasing number of giant monsters wandering around the Pacific Ocean. And occasionally they will form a giant monster pyramid and start jumping over the wall.
Why would... Mental who okayed the giant wall plan?
Yeah, the UN, from the looks of it.
Like, I mean, if it was the floating city plan, I'd be like, yes. But
somebody
was like a Pacific Rim command corps or something, because it's like all the countries around it. Because Canada was there.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's basically every country
giant
that touches.
The first one to get a clock to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
The Yukon Brawler is the first one to get an official kill because we're awesome with prototypes.
Well, you give a Canadian a prototype weapon, and you'll see what happens.
He fucks shit up for the rest of your war. That's how that works.
Or at least a year.
Yeah.
We Canadians were good for something.
Trying to reconcile the matter of personal effect versus war,
that's what we do.
Yeah, that's
Brawler Yukon, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yep.
There is a Pacific Rim wiki, in case anyone was afraid this wouldn't develop an incredibly obsessive fan base.
There are wikis for every... There is probably a wiki for this show at this point. None of us have made it.
Well, none of us have noticed, and because my listeners don't communicate with us, we just don't know.
There's a wiki about us. It's out there, and it's entirely in German.
Yes.
It has been released in Germany, right?
We're going to go on some German site and see a wiki just based on us. Like, wow, there's your picture and my picture, and I can't read any of this shit.
Is that my mailing address?
But yes, the Pacific Rim Wiki. Check it out.
It's got some nice pictures of Slattern on it.
Yeah.
Because you really needed to see the most horribly terrifying monstrosity they spat out at the end of the film. But we're getting ahead of ourselves there, because we might as well go through the film in sequence.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Where were we? Oh, yes.
So the film wall. Starts with...
Everything starts going to shit on the wall. They quickly realize, oh... Monsters can just walk right through it.
Well,
we've already decommissioned all our giant robots.
Or they've been destroyed.
We got to watch Gypsy Danger.
Yeah.
Yep.
We get
Gypsy
to watch
with Gypsy an I. It's not racist.
It's not racist. It's just a little awkward.
Yeah.
We get to watch Rally and his brother fight off a giant kaiju successfully. Would you call that a win?
Well, hey, the crab fisherman survived, so that counts.
Okay.
That's the reason I say ish.
The crew of Deadliest Catch Season 42 make it out in one piece, and that's what's important.
Yes. Never to be seen nor heard from again.
Yep.
Fuck the crab fishing. I ain't doing this shit no more.
Who the hell would keep crab fishing once giant monsters start crawling out of the Pacific Ocean?
If they're crazy enough to do it now, they're crazy enough to do it then.
Pretty
much,
yeah.
Be honest.
People
crab is probably really valuable once giant monsters start coming out of the ocean.
The observation
you thought
is
it was expensive
milk,
now.
Corn,
holy
and
shit.
Bread when Raleigh comes back to the war front.
Yes.
Like, it sounds like everything is being shuttled to the military at this point, and you basically survive off of gray paste.
or it's all being sent inland for, you know, all the people who don't live right next to the giant fat cats.
Remember the line of the foreman at the construction site? He says, "I got bad news. Two of our guys died up at the upper levels. The good news is I got two openings for the upper levels. Who wants them? Who wants to eat tonight?" It's like, damn, that's harsh.
I like that.
But yes, anyway, so the Beckett brothers go out. One of them get, you know, banjo playing pineapple salad eating fellow gets chewed out.
Yep,
literally.
And Rally manages to do something no one has seen in a long time. He pilots the mech by himself
without having a seizure.
Yep.
Well, he doesn't look good. I'm going to say that much.
Well, he's got an arm. To his credit, he's crippled all the fuck.
He's not piloting an entire Gypsy Danger. He's just piloting most of it.
Yeah. About 80%.
He switches to his brother's side, lasers the kaiju to kaiju chunks, and lands. And then there's Grandpa and his grandson searching for stuff on the shore. And does no one find out? Yeah, does no one notice? I mean, do they not notify people that the kaiju are coming in?
Like, you think there'd be a siren?
You'd think there'd be like a radio announcement. You'd think, you know, the emergency broadcast system, do they not still have that?
Nope.
Granted, this is a beach scavenger in Alaska, so I'm not this is probably not a guy who is connected to the world around him.
That was the first time he ever saw a giant robot. Holy hell, what the hell is going on?
He's crazy old plot device. That is his role. That's probably his damn name.
And his grandson finds the old 1970s toy robot in the ice. What the fuck it's doing there, we have no idea, but still.
Well, before, I have no idea. I got nothing, really. There's no reason for that toy to be there.
It's just a joke.
In the hopes of doing something interesting with his grandfather. He was like, granddad's always looking for metal. I found this thing in a pawn shop that nobody goes to anymore. Everybody fucking ran. I'm going to bury it there so he'll find something and be happy for once.
What a loving young
child. We can go home and get out of the freaking cold.
There we go. I turned the entire thing into a feel-good moment.
Yay!
That's one of the many stories alluded to in the movie, but not seen.
Yep.
Which apparently is quite a lot. I don't know if you guys saw that blog post someone did yesterday about seeing the movie with their girlfriend who apparently processes things visually differently than other people.
Yeah, where they make the correlation between her hair dye and her coat.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about as far as I got before I was like, no, those are different shades of blue. And sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. I mean, I'm not completely disputing it. If Del Toro is like, yes, that's what we were going for, then I'll believe it. But in general, I'm just like, okay, you dyed your hair blue. Good for you.
I'm willing to buy it.
They're connected, especially given how, you know, negatively she reacts to the memories. Like when you see the shoe and you know this thing has some sort of massive emotional resonance, I really doubt she's actively dyeing her hair so she can't forget about when she was, what, six? And her life came crashing down around her quite literally.
Can I say, why were you brought that up? Probably the best acting job in there. I'll admit the acting in this thing wasn't, you know. There's no Oscar-worthy performances here. But can I say probably the best acting job in the whole movie was the little girl screaming from the kaiju and everything going off around her? Because you got to remember, she's just seeing a big fucking blue screen.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a tennis ball
on a stick.
Yeah. Be afraid of it.
It's scary. And she did a damn good job. It's like, damn, she's really scared of that tennis ball on a stick. Yeah. Well done.
You know, I actually had to give some points to the Russian girl for trying to stare down a plasma cannon.
Yeah. The Russians are pretty cool. Yeah, even though they had no actual dialogue.
Yep.
I was going to say that. I thought they would survive.
There. But they were really Soviet. Holy crap. Like, they appeared on
stereotypical
screen.
Soviet
and my friend was watching it, and I'm like, Jesus, they're Russian.
And do you want to know the hilarious part?
They're Canadian.
Both actors Canadian.
Yep.
Yeah, that big guy, he's whatchamacallum. He used to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
No. What do you do when you don't have Soviets at the back and call? You get Canadians. There. Done.
That's the next closest thing we got.
Them and their fucking scope dog helmets.
Robert Maillet.
Loved that.
What can I say? I was like, yeah, I think the Russians are going to survive. But those three triplets from China who didn't even get names. I'm like, oh, you guys are dead.
These guys don't have first names. They aren't making it.
You ain't making it halfway through the movie, guys. I'm sorry.
And 100% of the basketball playing characters in this movie died.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show, basketball will get you killed.
Yeah.
Basketball plus giant monsters plus giant robots equals death.
Yep. But yes, okay, so back to the plot. We jump forward a few years, and
Working on the wall.
Yeah, Raleigh's working on the wall, which is being continued, expanded in favor of actually funding the robots that are killing the monsters.
Yeah. Well, they were. They started to suffer massive losses in the
You don't know if there were only four left.
Yeah. Yeah, they had 24 units during its peak, and they've been losing them like fucking nothing else, and it's because Kaiju are adapting.
Well, Stacker mentioned they were running 30 just out of the Shatter Dome at the peak. So they were like all over the Pacific. So obviously, how big was the one that Rally and his brother fought?
Knifehead?
Is that a level 3? Yeah.
Yeah, Knifehead was a class 3.
Yeah, so apparently class 4 was like, you know, the standard at that point. So they were obviously not keeping up to the Kaiju arms race.
This arms race did not go there.
Well, Gottlieb observes how rapidly these things are spitting out. And his equation, unfortunately, is quite accurate. So if they're spitting them out and they're progressing them up, as we see, those Mark IVs were going to start tearing through everything. I mean, the only Mark V that was even in use that we witness is Eureka.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Typhoon, they give it credit. They talk about the fact that, you know, with its, what was that, Thundercloud or Lightning Cloud formation?
Yeah. It's a three-armed Dempsey roll.
Yeah, that's it. It's a Whirling Dervish, but it really dies like a bitch.
Yep.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Did Gottlieb and Geisler strike anyone as German? Did you listen or see those guys and think, oh, those guys are German?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. No.
Like, they're German names, but that is an English actor and an American actor. Yeah,
well,
I liked Bern Gorman, actually. If we're going to talk performances, I liked him as Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, no, they both came across as, you know, they both managed to play mad scientist very differently.
Yes.
Like, he wrote two mad scientists, and the actors came in and gave two very different takes on that mad science.
Yeah.
Which is impressive, because I think, you know, without him sort of nudging them in these two actors, we might have gotten, you know, dueling insanos.
I mean, Newton was, the two scientists, Newton was, he was differently portrayed in the trailer. I didn't think he would be quite, you know,
the geek for kaijus that he was.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of how they portrayed him, but I thought he would be, you know, the science team didn't exactly seem to be respected. I don't know, but
Raleigh looks at him like he's cracked.
He was cracked. That's a thing. Yeah. No, because he was rice doesn't mean he wasn't.
Yeah. But I mean, even the first time Raleigh meets him and he's showing off the tattoos, Raleigh looks at him half like he's cracked and half like he's going to deck him.
Did he have a knife head tattoo?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did, which is perfectly justified for Raleigh wanting to kick his ass.
That was awkward.
That's cold, man. That's cold.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that thing was great. I'd love to see one. It's like, that thing killed my brother. You are standing within arm's reach of me.
You are subhuman scum. Leave now.
But odds are pretty good. They've likely done very little to garner any other respect. I mean, Newton would probably obsess whenever he's around anyone over anything, and most of the people who are living and dying on the lines are not really going to want to hear him. And Gottlieb's an obsessive lunatic in his own right with regards to his number crunching, so he's just going to isolate.
I like how they did split up the lab. You know, nothing on yours, nothing on my side of the lab, nothing. No kaiju entrails on my side of the lab.
Yep.
And get your damn chalkboard and with all those fancy numbers out of my side of the lab.
Well, you know what? With if you have to share a lab.
Like, I'd like to see a sitcom about these two, to be honest.
Well, we do have, you know, it's really just one giant monster attack away from the Big Bang Theory becoming that.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Oh, God. I didn't want to make that comparison. That's going to make
got
part of my brain
an image
bleed.
Of the German scientist going, Bazinga!
Okay, which German scientist? Because as we've
established, they're both kind of...
Okay, well, but not German scientist.
Ethnicity is kind of mutable in this.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Choi. Look at Tendo Choi. And tell me he in any way seems Chinese in the slightest. First time they said his name, they call him Tendo. I'm like, did I hear that right?
Who is that?
Tendo Choi is the operator.
The technician guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Tattoos.
He was supposed to be Chinese?
He's Chinese. He is Chinese Peruvian.
Well, then
he was
perhaps
born in Beijing.
More Peruvian then. He is more like his mother or father, depending on which side. I got nothing.
Yeah, really. Let's be completely honest. He is in no way Chinese at all. He is still, however, my favorite secondary character. Because I liked Tendo a lot, mostly because when shit went down, he still tried to do something.
He never stopped. I mean, he stayed at his post.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, when they've got the fucking plasma cannon pointed at them, like Double Zero is freaking out trying to kill them in Ava, he stays there. He tells everybody else to get out of the room. He's ripping power cables out. I half expected him to buy it there.
Well, I thought he was dead. I thought he was going to fire. I was like, oh, man, they're going to be considered murderers on the cable, and all that stuff.
I expected him to tear it out and get killed by the charge from it or something. Like, I was like, fuck, I can't handle this at this point. This movie is toying with my emotions. Don't do this to me.
I like him. Don't kill him.
Yep.
So then we get the montage of Raleigh sort of getting back into the saddle and trying to find a new partner.
Yeah.
Which is when he starts butting heads with Idris Elba. Playing Stacker Pentecost, the most anime name ever.
Great name.
Great name.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Although, to be deadly honest, you know, being played by Idris, just that makes a character.
Well, yeah.
Han Solo would be great if he was. I'd like to see Idris Elba play Han Solo.
He would be interesting as Solo. I don't think he'd bring down. He'd be more intimidating than he needs to be. That said, like an aged Lando? Like, no, I would watch that.
Have you seen Billy Dee Williams? He is an age Lando.
I know, it's Billy Dee. Billy Dee didn't do anything to be Lando. Billy Dee showed up with the cape, and they're like, oh, I guess the character's got a cape now. He's like, what? What? This is... Oh, okay. I was just showing up for work.
I guess I...
45, bitch.
Saves me some time in costuming.
Yep. Pretty sure he didn't read the damn script.
What's my line? Bounty Hunter?
Billy Dee, I don't need the damn script.
Fuck it.
Got a lot of nerves showing up here after what you pulled.
What?
Oh, Lando. But yes, Stacker Pentecost.
Great
name. A very anime name?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Very.
For a very anime character.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I was leaning back thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so former hero pilot turned commanding officer / father figure with a habit of bleeding out of different orifices.
What is
this man is Jamil Neat.
Well, what is space radiation sickness? Because you know what? I watched him and I'm like, hey, Coach Ota, what are you doing in my movie? Like, this is it. Nellie and I were talking about it after. She was thinking about this movie later on and she was like, blue. And I'm like, no, you know what? You think about Valhalla and the fact that at the end of the day, Stacker and Coach Ota are sitting there having a drink. And she was like, that didn't make it any better. I'm like, it made it better for me, damn it. But yeah, no, that's it. Like, he's the standard issue, way too father figure, tough as nails character, and we need him
now. As you guys seem to know more about the genre than I do, I'm going to admit I am not an anime aficionado.
Nerd.
I'm not an anime nerd.
Take
your pick. I'm not an otaku. I don't know. How anime were Gottlieb and Geissler?
Those are definitely there's. They're solidly pushing like the Bridge Bunny tech guy archetypes.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. A lot of people have been comparing this to Evangelion. It is a ripoff of Evangelion. No, if you actually, Guillermo del Toro, if I can say his name right, actually did an interview where they asked him, have you ever seen Evangelion? He goes, no, but I've heard a lot of people compare this work to it. I'm kind of interested to see it. And he listed off all the anime he has seen, and it's all the stuff that predated Evangelion. So you know what? These two are the two directors of Ava and Pacific Rim. They both saw the same thing, and they both came up with their own series, and they are kind of similar because they both saw the same thing.
Well, yeah, you can see the inspirations in it. Like, I walked away from this feeling kind of like I wanted to watch Gunbuster and kind of like I wanted to watch Getter, and I got really fucking thrilled with the rocket elbow because it's a fucking rocket punch.
Right.
Yes.
I couldn't, every time I was watching this, I couldn't say, kept saying, Mazinkaiser.
Yeah, like it's even got the they even managed to chest beam things.
Yep. I was so pleased by that. I was like, I've been wondering what the fuck that's for the entire time. It's got to be a weapon of some kind. And it's like, oh, it's breast fire. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I got really excited. The only time I went full, you know, nerdgasm out of my seat, almost hopping up and down like an idiot, is they're up in orbit and he pulls out the sword.
Yes.
Which, by the way, if he had a sword, why did you have to use the boat earlier? I guess I don't care. But still, pulls out the sword, chops that mother in half. I'm just like, yes, yes, yes!
It didn't seem like Raleigh knew the sword was there.
Like, yeah.
Like she pushed the button.
Holy shit, I didn't know they installed a sword. Beep.
Yep.
Someone actually... someone pointed out that apparently it was mentioned, it was exposited outside of the film, which is always a great place to learn things, that her family is sword makers.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Which makes, you know, the presentation, you know, the Gypsy Danger having a sword as very appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if they installed the sword since the last time he piloted, he'd be, so he wouldn't know it was there. Put up the boat. We'll use it as a sword. We have a sword. I'm using a boat right now.
I have a boat. I've already picked up the boat. We're going to smack it.
We are going for boat foo. If you don't agree, then you can control your soda side of the robot that doesn't have a boat. So fuck off. It's boat time.
I'm going to use this boat as a sword. We have a sword. Fine. It's a baseball bat.
It's a club.
Although I did, the boat was so beautiful.
Oh, that was gold.
I just loved, picked up the tanker and he's running, you know, and it's like, yes, he is going to hit him in the head with a fucking boat.
Much better
weapon than the fishing boat. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. If they that ever make a Gypsy effective. Danger model kit or an action figure, I want the boat as an accessory.
I want it like slinging the boat over its shoulder like a Louisville Slugger.
There you go.
Well, maybe in the sequel, Gypsy will just carry a boat with it.
Sure. Have a boat come out of its arm whenever it...
RMS Titanic, bitch.
But yeah, you know, I just thinking, I don't know if it's a good idea sending him out to combat when you haven't had a chance to make sure he knows how to use the thing at all.
Well, like, I mean,
you think he would have gotten a briefing paper. Oh, by the way, we've updated Gypsy Danger. It has a sword now. Isn't that great?
Well, they were about to start that.
Yes.
And then they had the freak out moment where, you know, they almost blew up the facility.
Had her little PTSD.
Yep.
Which,
okay, that was
as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's why he didn't want her to get in the damn robot.
Yeah.
Like, why? She seemed like a great fighter. She seemed, you know, to link well with him. What's the problem? And you see that? Oh.
Oh, okay. She's crazy, too.
Yeah, it makes sense now. Never mind.
And then, you know, two monsters show up and start trying to wreck Hong Kong. Like, they did not have time for adequate briefings for anyone.
All I'm saying is it's a good thing the monsters headed for Hong Kong. Because they had four Jaegers in Hong Kong. And if the monsters had, say, headed for Lima, Peru, it would have been awkward.
I would have enjoyed it if they were like, fuck it, we don't like Frisco again. What?
How's that wall working out, guys?
It's almost finished. It's going to take a lot longer.
Someone resets the sign for how many days it's been since an accident.
Oops.
They just pull the sign down. They're just like, fuck it. Fuck this. Going home.
All right. And so before we get into the big fight in Hong Kong, I should mention there are two other characters. Well, three. The Australians and their dog.
Oh, I love that dog so much.
That dog.
Explain to me why two Australians are carrying around a British fucking bulldog.
Because the dog's
because they're awesome dogs.
Because one of the Australians' name is Hercules. That's why.
So you can't get yourself an Australian sheepdog and stick with the program? Come on.
Nope.
You're Australians. You're supposed to have an Aussie dog or get a dingo.
If they're Australians, they should have had some sort of murderous spider capable of killing kaiju in its own right, but they didn't have that either.
Actually,
the reason they're stationed in Hong Kong instead of, you know, Sydney, because the kaiju went there, lost, and then went, oh, I could come back, but it's Australia. Everything here will kill me.
Except for volcanoes, because Australia doesn't have those.
Fucking Australia.
The only thing not trying to kill Australians. Volcanoes.
Yep.
But yes, Herc Hansen, I liked him. And Chuck was
a douchebag.
A good character. He was a douchebag. I just loved how he was just goading Riley every time. Riley? Well, Riley, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, these two are going to fight. And then they did.
I love the way he beat his ass. It's like, you want to take that back? No, I crack, 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 crack. And rallies to the point where it's like, nope, I'm not going to hit him with anything that'll break a limb.
Yeah.
Because then we'd be down a pilot, but damn it, I'm going to hurt you.
Fighting shape.
You will survive this, and you won't need any long-term medical care, but it's going to hurt like a
soft
bitch.
Soft tissue damage.
Right. Nope. That'll be a bruise. Nothing broken. Everything's bruised.
Reducing fertility, but...
And you weren't going to have any kids anyway.
You're going to walk that off.
And you're singing an octave higher and we're good.
Yeah. But yes, Max was the dog, right?
Yes, the dog was Max. Yeah.
Yes.
The guy's name is Hercules and the dog's name is Max.
Okay. Yep. The second time I watched
Indiana is the dog's name.
We named the dog Hercules. I noticed that Mako basically... she liked the dog, and the dog liked her. So I knew she was a good person because the dog liked her.
Yeah. Like, even the Hansons, well, they can't be total douchebags. They have this cool dog.
Yes.
If the dog was a dick, we'd...
Well, the dad was a nice guy. I liked the dad. It's just his son was a douchebag.
Herc was cool. Well, Chuck, I love Stacker's description of Chuck. You're an arrogant moron with daddy issues.
Yep.
You're arrogant, self-centered, a prick, you're a jerk, and you have severe daddy issues. But you are your father's son. So, like, yes, you're a complete another asshole. But when should we get rid of all that? You're not evil. So,
well, I'd like to point out that these are the only guys that actually have, like, kill counts on their armor.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're the aces of the gang. They're pricks.
Well, I'm assuming, like, the Russians and Crimson Typhoon, they've all taken down Kaiju. They just don't, you know, look what I've done. Check this out. Hey, 7 Kaiju, isn't that fucking awesome, mate?
Yeah. Russians don't need to just whip it out onto the table whenever they need to see who's got the biggest.
Well, that's they brought a nuke. Works. They've already won. Yeah. It's like, 11 is nice. I have nuke.
So we stopped counting at 11.
Yeah. But yes, it was all, they, you know, all of the pilots that had lines were interesting characters.
Except for the Chinese guys, but they didn't have lines, so who cares? Yeah. Okay. They got to play basketball for 30 seconds on camera. They got in there. Big
we'll have
three-arm
to see
robot
the Chinese version of the film because they probably have a bigger role in that, the same way the Chinese characters in Iron Man did.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah,
but then we get the Hong Kong fight.
Well, was it? I mean, sorry to interrupt, Jim. Did you actually hear anything about that, or is that just
no? That's just theory. But... That's just personal theory. That's because in Iron Man, like. This is getting released in China with Iron Man. When they did that, they expanded upon the Chinese characters considerably. I fully expect the triplets are probably going to get an expansion in China.
Or a line.
I wasn't even aware their unit actually had all three in there. I assume it was two pilots and the third guy basically functioned as a remote. And then it's like, oh no, all three were in there. So all three got fucked.
Yeah, all three of them have an arm, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody gets an arm.
The poor loser of the three. Two of them are controlling it properly, and they're like, yeah, Chumpy, you control the arm when we need it.
Maybe they alternate. You know?
Probably not.
It's your turn in the back arm today.
Let's be honest. This is a basic standard human interaction relationship. One of them is in charge, one of them is kind of in charge, and one of them is the whipping boy.
Oh.
Harsh.
Your knowledge of humanity is painful.
I'm not arguing that it's not true. I'm just saying it's harsh.
I wonder.
I get to control the left hand side. You get control the right hand side, and Charlie over there, he gets that one extra arm.
Yep.
Just hang out back there.
Just keep doing your thing, man. Just
swinging that arm around. Whee!
But yeah. So then we get the Hong Kong fight.
Ah.
And I love how they managed to make two big piles of CGI feel big and heavy.
Oh yeah. There was a
shit
lot of,
had mass.
There was some
when they're
weight.
Talking about how fast Stryker Eureka is, you're like, really? Then you start to see it moving, and it moves like a locomotive.
Yeah.
Like, you see that buildup of momentum as it's running.
Well, do you know who was the special effects lead on this?
Nope.
John Knoll, who got his start in this game doing stop-motion animation on AT-ATs.
Well, there you go.
He did the Battle of Hoth.
Nice.
Suddenly, there's a lot of correlation here.
And the man knows his heavy-ass robots.
Yes. He knows how they move. He knows how shit gets... He knows how gravity works, damn it.
He knows how elephants move.
Yes, he does.
And I see, elephants and, like, just large, like, big giant land animals in the way everything moves.
Well, look at Leatherback, which I had two observations on. It moves like a gorilla, first off.
Yeah.
Like, the thing entirely moves with a loping gait. Like, it's running on its fists. It's moving like an angry fucking silverback. But I love the fact, I'm looking at this thing, it reminds me of a gorilla, it reminds me of a whale, and I'm like, gorilla whale? Where have I heard this before?
You heard this before?
Gorilla whale is Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gojira is gorilla whale. There you go. A little bit of trivia for you.
Gorilla whale.
Yep. But... Like Leatherback, you look at that
really
thing.
I didn't
really
see whale net, but yeah, when he was charging at the Gypsy Danger and he's pounding his fist on the ground, it's like that's a big friggin' silverback. Is that what that is?
Yep.
It's drooling green ooze, but whatever.
It's still a gigantic fucking pissed off gorilla.
Yeah. Where does the 800-pound gorilla go? Wherever the fuck he wants. Where does the 800,000-ton gorilla go? Wherever the fuck he wants to go.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. Hong Kong. Taking the nightlife. I mean,
he only weighs 3,000 tons. Yes.
No, and I mean, even when you see stuff like Otachi when it's moving in the water, like something that big should not be that fast underwater. And at the same time, if it's able to shift aquatic mass like that, why wouldn't it be? Like, this thing is moving like a whale. This thing is moving like an enormous sea predator.
Can I say I loved when the Aussies, you know, they got hit with their Kaiju EMP.
Yeah.
They're just fucking around. It's like, you know what should we do? Well, let's get some two friggin' handguns, crawl up to the top of the thing, and just shoot it.
Well, they're flare guns.
Yep.
They're flare guns, yeah.
You know what that reminded me of? Dozel Zombie on the Big Zom.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat me. I'm not going to let a punk like you beat me. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're screwed.
Once the Stalker Eureka is mass produced.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, once the Stalker Eureka is mass produced, it'll put an end to the kaiju in no time.
Yeah.
Which, based on its kill count,
you fool! Don't you understand? Once the Stalker Eureka is mass produced, we'll kill you all. Oops.
Oh shit.
But yeah. I love that line. It says, "So what do we do? Well, we can stand here and with our thumbs up our asses, or you can follow me, and we're going to do something really stupid." Well,
and of course, the Australians.
I'm just not sure if it's...
Well, that's an easy answer.
Yeah. That's the right answer in that scenario. Sit around and die, or do something pathetically dumb.
That's the message of the movie.
Yeah. Rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah.
We're going to invoke Dylan Thomas here?
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
Although, to be deadly honest, you know, I think they took out, you know, or at least they caused it to weep a gentle tear when they shot the flare into its eye.
Oh, it probably stung like a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it annoyed him greatly for like 3 seconds, and it just really pissed him off.
Yep.
Like, ow, motherfucker.
Thing that came out of that big metal thing just spat on me.
It stings. It burns. Ow. Okay, it's gone.
Now, I just want
to
mention something I actually didn't find annoying about the film that other people did. The lighting of the kaiju and mecha scenes.
It rains a lot.
It rained a lot, but I thought that, you know, the helicopter lighting, it all worked for it.
Like, it's part of the feel. Like, I think he's, like, Del Toro's sort of almost going for a disaster footage look.
Yeah.
And you do have a giant robot and a giant monster in the middle of the city trashing shit. So, yeah, it is a disaster.
And honestly, I mean, one of the smarter things you can do in a monster movie that is entirely reliant on computer effects is
show as little of it as possible.
Yeah, keep it dark, don't get too close, and people will still believe it.
Yeah.
See, but you still got a sense of where everything was, and...
Normally I would criticize when Gypsy Danger strolling through Hong Kong. Usually I hate lighting and CG effects, but yeah. I found the lighting in this good.
Well, it's ILM. They know what to do.
Yeah.
You would hope.
When Gypsy Danger's strolling through Hong Kong, you know, the city lights just light it up nice, and the helicopters... Yeah.
The other problem I have with the lighting is, you know, the kaijus always attack at night, and it's always fucking raining.
Well, it's Hong Kong. It's a pretty wet city.
I don't care. It's raining every single... And it's not, you know, some light spritzing. It's fucking pouring all the time. By the end of that movie, they should be underwater.
Stryker Eureka's fight in Sydney was in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Yep. But that was only, again, like 30 seconds of news footage.
Yeah. We didn't actually see that fight.
Hong Kong is
apparently underwater or something.
The city's just built on boats. It'll float.
I guess.
But, you know, I didn't find that an issue at all. I liked everything seemed to be, you know, pretty easy to follow, which is a problem I have with other giant robot movies that we're not going to mention.
Yeah, we aren't going to mention those giant robots.
Yeah.
Which giant robot movies?
You know what, Michael Bay, you know how we haven't heard too much of Michael
right
Bay?
You can fuck right off. You can fuck right off. 90 goddamn minutes for Optimus Prime to show up. You can fuck right off.
I thought you were going real old school with robot jocks.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I will end a life. Fuck.
Now we are not going to talk about robot jocks. Ever.
Hey! That I wouldn't mind talking about because it looked fucking terrible.
It was fucking terrible.
Hey, if we can talk about AIDS, we can talk about robot jocks.
I watched it on VHS in like 1986. I can't remember a thing about it, but you know, the article in Starlog magazine made me very excited for it.
We could also talk about Atlantic Rim at some point.
Okay. Or
whatever that guy called now. Because I think Asylum actually got hurt for once and aren't able to make that.
Didn't it come out the day before Pacific Rim?
Yeah, it came out.
I thought they had
before.
To rename it, though.
Also known as Attack
from... I saw it on Xbox Live. It's still Atlantic Rim.
Okay, then no, yeah. As always, Asylum manages to get away through fair use. Damn Asylum.
But yeah, it looked like... I just looked at like a trailer for it. It's like, wow. This is horrible. I can tell that from the trailer.
You should know better than to look at Asylum trailers. You're just hurting yourself.
I just looked for the sheer horror of it. Like, Graham Greene used to be able to be in things.
He's on Defiance, so obviously he was just looking for a new boat.
You know, prior to Atlantic Rim's announcement, I thought Graham Greene was dead.
That is fair. That does happen a lot.
People Scott, dying. That man is a national treasure, okay? If he died, you would see my Facebook icon turning black for a day, okay?
Okay. Half-mast would be too high.
Yeah. We just take the damn flags down, watch Dances with Wolves, and weep gently to ourselves, as is our way. Into our flannel.
All right, so after the Hong Kong fight, which is amazing, we get introduced to Ron Perlman.
Because you can't
have a Guillermo del Toro movie without Ron Perlman.
His favorite character and his second favorite Chinese food restaurant from Brooklyn.
He was so good. And
what a dirtbag.
The kaiju parts dealer.
If anybody hasn't seen the ad, go on YouTube. Look up Hannibal Chow, watch the ad, love the crap out of it. Apparently, kaiju remedies solve everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, that's what they were selling them for. It's mostly male enhancement, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's for the bones. That's what you do with the bones.
Oh, okay.
Who knows what the liver's good for?
Hmm?
Yeah. You know, who knows what you can get out of a kaiju liver?
Kaiju bile, which is good for the digestion system.
Yeah, we're gonna grind up this kaiju's bones. We're gonna have you snort it, and it's gonna give you a heck of a male enhancement.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter, you will have a heart attack and die. But hey, details.
Hey,
who wants to live forever?
No, I want his coat.
I want his shoes with the gold on the top. Those are badass shoes.
Where's my other shoe?
Was eaten best by the fucking kaiju baby.
I presume everyone did stay for the post credits.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, someone hadn't.
And
someone
leaves
posted
before
like
the end of the credits anymore. Like who does that?
Only the people who have checked beforehand to find out if there's something after the credits.
I always stay for the entirety of the credits because a lot of people put a lot of hard work into that movie, and you might as well see if you know any of them. So,
yeah.
No, you don't anyone. You're just waiting to see the extra scene.
No, I will stay even if I've already seen the extra. Well, no. Yes, I did. Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't you question my motives, you son of a bitch.
The only time I ever did that was, it almost ashames me to admit this, when the writers for Batman and Robin, that's the George Clooney debacle with Arnold Schwarzenegger, two of the writers, you see them at the very beginning, they have my last name. And I'm like, hey, they have my last name. And I watched the movie. Oh, God, they have my last name.
Poor Jeff.
Like, I don't know them, and thank God, because if I knew, I might be really afraid.
Next time you show up at a family gathering, just start decking distant cousins.
What do you do? You freaking idiot! My name is John. It was Joe. Oh, sorry.
I'm really, really sorry. Here, let me buy you a drink.
The Pacific Rim Wiki has a very nice shot of all the props related to Hannibal Chow.
Yep.
Those shoes are awesome.
It also has the list for everything he claims it will fix. Yeah. Kaiju parts, according to Chow, can help you lose weight, look younger, beat cancer, prevent heart attacks and strokes, cure insomnia, reverse balding, treat depression and anxiety, avoid erectile dysfunction, help treat obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit disorder, lactose intolerance, incontinence, and restless leg syndrome.
Will not solve my itchy, watery eyes, damn it.
Well, that's what happens when, you know, you drift with a kaiju brain. I loved how fucked up his eye was.
Yeah.
Like when he takes the glasses off and it's like, why is your skin fucked? How long were you in there, man?
Well, I think she was using a homemade drift device is just not good.
That's not a good plan.
I'm going to use this thing I made in my garage to let my brain travel to an alien species I know very little about.
How could this possibly go wrong?
even though he is one of the world's experts on them.
Well, like that. The other scientist runs and gets the commander, and he's like, he drifted with the kaiju. He comes back, he's sitting there twitching, freaking out. Say, what did you learn? It's like, well, he learned how to stutter horribly. Well,
Focus. Focus. So,
another funny thing after that, he's like, I need you to do it again. And the guy looks at him and is like, you just saw what I saw, right?
He looks like he's going to shit himself.
No, he already did. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if there's like, you know, a cut of the scene where Stacker walks in and just goes, whew, what is that? Oh,
God.
Yeah. The...
Dang.
He's ankle deep in kaiju gut, so probably they wouldn't notice. Yeah. I am glad that kaiju crap is a good fertilizer.
Well,
that's good to know.
It's rich in ammonia.
Mm. Well, yeah.
I'd like to spread that around.
That's a great job.
Shit shoveler for the apocalypse.
Someone's got to be.
It's true.
Hey, at least you can use a bulldozer. It's a really nasty bulldozer, but you can do it.
Oh, to think I went to trade school for this.
No. All right, so then we get the plan, which is to
the plan.
Drop a nuke down the hole between dimensions.
Yeah, that struck me as really ill-conceived. Well, that's now, I'm assuming somewhere along the way we tried nukes and it wasn't effective. And I don't even mean on the breach. I mean on the kaiju.
No, it is effective. That's what they were using to bring them down before they built the Jaegers.
Yeah.
Yeah, destroying their whole city in the process. The only thing I couldn't figure out is, okay, wait a minute. If you can figure out when the breach opens and you can figure out, you know, when the kaiju come out, wouldn't you just have, you know, a nuke right there all the time, ready to blow? It's like, up the route, hit the button, boom, okay, done.
Perhaps they swim underwater for very quickly to get away from the breach.
I don't know, maybe. Just saying, hit that button, and you go, okay, next, you get like a... You know, a line of 30 of them above ground. Okay, put it down. Okay, there we go. Next. Boom.
I mean, there's probably something bad about horribly irradiating the world's oceans. There's probably something bad about that.
Hey, really?
That's how they were testing.
You want irradiated oceans, or do you want giant monsters destroying the city?
That's why they built the robots.
Wait, are you asking me personally? Because that's a really easy question.
Just say.
Yeah, well, we... I live on the Great Lakes. I don't give a shit what they do in the Pacific. Oh, no, I kid. I love Vancouver. Wonderful city.
Nobody in Vancouver cares what you think. They're all too high.
Dead center of the US of A. I don't even see an ocean. I don't care.
I live on PEI. These things wouldn't come here anyway. They'd step over it by accident. And then I'd get somebody bitching about the weather and the premier. Fuck. Yeah, but yeah, so we get the plan. And I've heard worse plans. I mean, they could have just tried to shove the few remaining Jaegers straight into it and been like, fuck it, who cares?
Well, I mean, the way they just say it, all right, so they basically use a nuke to collapse the tunnels and hope to God they can't just open a tunnel at will.
I mean, they opened one.
Yeah.
But they didn't open any more.
Yeah, so it smacks of being complicated, at least, if not really fucking hard. Because really, if they could have opened more, presumably they would have.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be one in the Atlantic as well, the Indian or something.
Directly
They'll
in Antarctica.
They'll save that for the sequels.
Yeah,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that'll be the sequel to Pacific Rim. It will be Atlantic Rim.
But they'll have to call it the real. They'll have to call it the real Atlantic Rim.
Yes.
And then they'll have Rim. Indian Rim.
Oh, I see
Rim.
Now. Arctic Rim.
Yeah.
They attack Indian Antarctica. Rim, why? Bush. Because, I don't know. It's fucking cold there.
Gulf of Mexico Rim.
Oh, there we go. Giant monsters walking across Cuba. Castro. You bastard!
Bay Rim.
Oh, they attack Florida.
Oh, that would be terrible. Not Moosini. Not Moosini.
Giant kaiju attacking Orlando, Florida to destroy Disney World.
No!
What are you talking about? Disney's going to have a giant robot with ears. Doing sure all kinds of shit.
And if it kills the kaiju, it did it in self-defense and therefore can't be held accountable.
Mickey Danger.
Oh, damn.
Topical.
Wow. There's probably a Jaeger tucked inside one of, you know, somewhere in Epcot.
Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed, but it probably had nothing to do with anything more than we're wasting ticket goers' money.
There's a frozen, you know, the frozen head of Walt Disney controls it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a second person.
It's called Mickey Danger.
Oh. God,
oh, come on, that was funny. Shut up.
Oh.
Someone laughed. It was funny. Shut the hell up.
Groaned in pain.
Right, so then they walk into the... So, you know, Idris Elba gives the speech.
He gives the rousing speech.
He gives the rousing speech.
Which is actually a little absurd when you sit there and listen to it.
It's a really absurd situation.
Yeah.
It's very absurd, but It's no more absurd than the speech at the end of Independence Day.
Much less absurd than the speech at the end of
Independence Day. Yeah, the speech at the end of Independence Day was absolutely fucking retarded. Even when I was a kid, I sat there, watched that, and went, wait, what did I... What? I've mulled that over. I'm like, independence from what? They're an invading force. You weren't
separating from them. We declare our independence from you fucking aliens.
Yeah. Now, if we were to continue the Independence Day comparison with Pacific Rim, for it to hold, the film would need to end with someone driving a speedboat into the throat and blowing it up with a can of gasoline or something.
Yeah. That's probably an Atlantic Rim. That's probably how they end the movie. Because they could afford some... Probably they stole a speedboat and had a gas can.
Hey, wait a minute. The Jaeger did run at the friggin' monster with a nuke and blew itself up, so it kind of did happen.
Well, it wasn't really running anywhere.
Okay, swimming.
The kaiju were coming to it.
It also got to do a great divinity pose in the end.
Did one of the Jaegers cross itself? Or someone mentioned something, and I'm not sure what exactly did happen.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, it might have. If it was, it was a throwaway thing, and I just missed it because I was... Well, by the time you're hitting that point, I mean, you're looking at these characters, you're emotionally invested in them, and it's like, no, not a noble sacrifice. I can't fucking deal with thee.
Not the Australians.
I may hate this kid, but not enough to want him dead. Just, I want his ego badly bruised.
Nah.
I want to get his nose broken a couple more times.
Yeah, that's it. He's not actually a bad person. He's just
wait a minute. Guts. He's an ace. We don't have a lot of them. Don't let him die.
Well, actually, at this point, they've got more aces than they have robots.
Yeah.
Well. Okay, fine. Don't let him blow up that robot. It's a pretty damn good robot.
That's a nice robot. What are you doing?
We've got lots of guys who could pilot it. They're all back in the base going, aw.
It's like, I want to run that speedy robot, damn it.
But yes.
They blow everything up and we get, you know, our two leads, you know, hanging out in the ocean, happy.
And then we finally get a Mark V.
Kind of gunbuster scene that made me really troubled when he jettisons her.
Yeah.
I was like, No. This reminds me a lot of
No.
Yeah, it's like, you don't fucking die down there, you son of a bitch. I just watched Pentecost. No. No, I can't handle this. I've got enough.
Get out of there, Rally! Get out of there!
Yeah. And then he does.
He ejects him like, oh, he's dead. He's going to get caught in the shockwave. Yep. Nope, he survives. Very Iron Man-esque.
Yep. Yeah. She tries to bring him back.
Which makes Rory the Hulk.
I'm sorry. I was expecting CPR. I was like, you know, you can, you know, CPR. That's what he's waiting for. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, Deliana's threw that. Oh, you mean like, oh, you mean just the breath? Yeah.
Yeah. No, he just like, come on, I'm holding my breath. CPR. Stop shaking me. CPR. God damn it.
You're clubbing me.
I sort of imagine they've got defibrillators built into those outfits, just in case.
Oh yeah.
You would hope. Like given
press a button. Oop, that wasn't it.
Well, given that it seems to be fairly connected to your nervous system, you would expect it should be able to emit at least a localized electrical charge. Because it's fuck, the pilot's gone into cardiac arrest. What do we do? Zap.
Ooh, that was a shocking experience.
Oh, that was a terrible pun.
Yes, it was.
I condemn you to the seventh circle of pun hell with the 10-inch pianists.
Oh, I'll fit in there.
Ba-dum-bum.
Da-da-da-da-da, penis.
Send $1.99 if you'd like that as your ringtone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
just going to sound rip it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Our first addition to the ringtone of I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside that does not involve Sam.
Yay. I made my mark on society. I can die happy now.
Yeah. Yes, you have.
Keep making jokes like that, you're going to die a lot sooner than happy.
But yes, the last fight, considering it was underwater, like very underwater, all the way underwater. Once again, fairly clear. The fast swim kaiju, he's, you know, only saw out of the corner of his eye until he struck, which was okay.
Yep.
Good little Jaws moment that way.
Tendo's sitting there going, there's one right there, and it's just a handful of meters away from him. He's like, I don't see anything.
There's movement all over the place.
No?
Okay. 20 meters, 15 meters, 10 meters. You're reading it wrong. That means they're in the room. 5 meters? What the hell? Oh, let's check into the sea. Oh, fuck. Bye, Hudson. But yeah, and we get that great final battle with Slattern, which
yeah.
forces the use of breast fire because that's what you do when you're fighting the big final monster. You crack out your most powerful attack.
You've finished your level break and you
yep.
you give him a zap, which was pretty neat. And then they rode him into the throat.
Yeah.
Which like I will point out, not normally how you do returns.
Well, I like the two scientists. Okay, we're getting ready to do our big plan. The two scientists show up. Wait, you have to use a kaiju to get in there. You got to ride them like a surfboard. And they're like, how the fuck are we supposed to do that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Job's hard enough, guys.
Crazy enough that it might just work.
Yeah.
Well,
kill
we're
the kaiju,
we're
ride his corpse like a surfboard. In we go.
And beautiful, beautiful fight scene.
Violent as hell, a great battle, and Slattern does not go down easy.
No, I mean, he basically blasts off the nuke.
Blasts off everything, really.
Yeah, it's not until he's cut in half that he seems to die, and I wasn't entirely convinced it wasn't going to start to regenerate.
Throw an extra set of legs, you know.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be one of those times where you're going to reveal that, yeah, it can be shorn in half. And
is that all you got? Fight. Come at me, bro.
Bring it, bitch. Fuck, like, why don't you die?
Just a flesh wound.
Who needs legs? I don't need fucking legs. We're underwater, you asswipe.
I'm swimming, jerkweed. His arm's split in half. Crack. Apparently they released a fighting video game for the movie. I was not aware of that.
They've also done HeroClix for it, which amazed me because I didn't realize HeroClix were still a thing.
Oh, they're a huge thing.
You can't stop HeroClix anymore.
Really?
They're collectible toys. Oh, the stuff they've done. It's kind of neat.
I was in my comic book shop. They had a chromed out Sentinel HeroClix, and they wanted like $100 for it. I'm like, are you serious? I went back next week. It was gone.
That's insane. Kind of makes me wonder what happened to all of mine.
They lost a lot of value, actually.
No, I don't know what happened to any of my HeroClix. I don't remember ever getting rid of them. But yeah, no, so when I saw that, I was like, that almost makes me want to get into it. And at the same time, how the hell do I explain Gypsy Danger fighting Wolverine? It doesn't make any damn sense.
Oh, well, you can just have Gypsy Danger fight the Enterprise and four orcs and Boromir.
And Voltron.
And Voltron.
What?
No, Voltron was from Monsterpocalypse.
Oh.
Not a compatible system, Scott.
Sorry.
I got my rules.
I got my licensed games.
We're far too lazy to do that. Far too lazy to learn the actual rules of games we're playing, so.
Gypsy Danger versus Ava 1 versus Boromir versus Spider-Man versus a Sentinel versus Batman.
Versus Dracula.
And Dracula, and Batman still wins.
Yes, but that's because Batman cheats.
I didn't say he fought fair, I said he wins.
Batman is prepared for everything.
Yeah.
That's the reason you unprepare Batman by resurrecting his parents in the past. His parents weren't actually shot, they just got sick. Then they got better, so Bruce became a whiny little shit.
It's just a flesh wound.
Nope.
He's dating Paris Hilton now.
No, that's a fate worse than death. Nobody wants that.
And suddenly, I'm just horrified. Thank you.
Sorry.
And I just had a mental image of a Paris Hilton dressed as Huntress. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Your life just keeps getting better.
I know. Damn it.
Why do you hate yourself so much?
I don't hate myself. I hate you for making me think of these horrible things.
I didn't make you think of anything. You did it to yourself.
No, you started the whole Bruce Wayne, Paris Hilton thing, and now my brain's just creating all sorts of horrible things.
Yeah, I think this is something you need to talk about with your therapist, to be honest.
I was thinking about Bruce Wayne fucking Paris Hilton in a sex tape, and
it all just kind of went downhill from there. Really?
Okay. So,
really? Let me just get this needle ready while you tell me more.
So,
keep talking.
The thing that I think really stands out about this, beyond just the visual scope and style of it, is that it is unironically and unambiguously heroic.
Yep.
Throughout. Yeah.
Well, you're constantly presented with this "you can save the world" mentality. Yes,
you can fight the hurricane.
I mean, forgetting mecha genre in general, if you just look at it, so this is about as close as we're going to get to a live action anime. Okay, a good live action anime.
Yeah. But it is.
Because there are so many tropes used in this thing. Even if you just ignore mecha in general and just take anime as a baseline, it's like, yeah, whoever wrote this watched a lot of anime. A lot of old school anime.
back when it was still called Japanimation?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, God.
That's...
But that you keep bringing up like, things we don't want to remember. Thank you.
This is why you're here tonight, isn't it? To remind us of things that we actively forgot. But it is.
I still use that term on occasion.
Supposed to remember forever.
I still use that term on occasion, just as sort of an abusive thing to some of the people I know.
Well, that's fair.
Japanimation.
But yeah, it is. It's a stock anime trope, but it's also a good mentality. I mean, I've got friends who actively watch giant robot shows to kind of combat depression. Because you sit here, you watch this shit, it's over the top, it's crazy, but the baseline message is you can affect change. The agency of control, your locus of control is in you. It is not external. You are not controlled by the world. You have a direct effect on it. That's the option he presents to Raleigh. You can die on this wall, you can be a passive participant in reality, accomplish nothing and eventually be killed by it, or you can die in a Jaeger. You can become an active participant in reality. You might be able to affect greater change. You at least stand a very menial chance of saving the world, of at least doing something that matters before you're snuffed out. To me, that's not even an option. Like, die on the wall or die in a Jaeger? I'll take a Jaeger, even ignoring the fact that I would love to pilot a giant robot. Because I bitched about it when we did the Ava episode. You know what? You have the option to save the world. You do it.
Even if you don't think you can, it's better than not.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be one of those guys punching rivets into the breastplate armor, just.
Yeah, but if they said that, it's like, hey, we decided that you're actually a really good candidate to pilot this thing. You want in?
Yeah, if they go, you're drift compatible, are you really going to say no?
I'd be like, I'm scared shitless, but.
Give me a minute. Let me grab a half dozen bottles of whiskey. I'll see you on the inside.
Right.
Actually, no. Let me just be in the Soviet bot for like 20 minutes. I'm sure there's enough airborne vodka. I'll be.
That's what they use to lubricate the helmets.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Everybody else.
Hey, can I borrow your helmet for like 30 seconds?
What do you think they're using to keep from the gears from grinding up, from freezing together when they're stationed in Alaska?
Yeah.
Hey, Russians use vodka for everything. Why not?
You can use it to clean your car, your carpet, your hair, and your insides.
Yay.
It cleans everything. Even the stuff you don't want clean. Salt.
It's a floor cleaner. It's a dessert topping.
It's julienne fries and will balance your checkbook.
The only thing better is kaiju bone. Anyway.
Does anyone have any final thoughts on the movie?
I really wish it had done better.
It's doing fine.
It's doing fine. It's doing as long as you look at the world.
Yeah, if you look at worldwide gross, it's doing well.
Well,
I'm curious what it'll do in Japan. I'm really curious how much money it'll make there.
Well, given the mad praise it's getting from Japanese creators, like, Kojima's seen it and fucking loves this movie. And
yeah.
Kojima, I love the man, but he's a whack job. So if he's sitting there saying, you need to go see this, every Metal Gear fan is going to go see it because we do what he tells us.
Well, you saw the Metal Gear poster for this movie.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Okay, I'm Googling this.
Yeah, Google Pacific Rim ZOE.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking for the artist from Zone of Enders. And he does do the Metal Gear stuff, but it's more notable as a ZOE-style image.
Just lots of pictures of Zoe Saldana. Not complaining.
Well, that's totally ineffectual for what I wanted. Oh, no, it's there on second row. Left-hand side, I'm on it myself.
Okay, that's a very pretty picture.
Is that nice? Is that nice? Do you not enjoy that?
Although I am going to say, it looks like Gypsy Danger's got a dong on that poster.
No, that's just giant robot codpiece.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Like we said, Zone of the Enders.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's
his signature right there.
I have no idea what is Enders. Is that not the book about the kids fighting aliens?
No, that's Enders Game.
Zone of the Enders was a mecha video game that Kojima did.
Yep.
Ah.
It's pretty good.
It looks nice.
They did an HD remix of it a bit back that's worth picking up if you've never played it.
Yeah, Zone of the Enders 1, good. Zone of the Enders 2, holy crap.
Holy crap good or holy crap?
Holy crap fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good.
But yeah, no, internationally this thing is doing pretty well. They've basically confirmed a sequel. Like, and it's kind of a given. Like, this is not a movie intended for the modern American audience.
Well, here's the thing. The thing I compare it to is Tintin did shit in North America. But it's still getting two more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just because something does bad in North America doesn't make it bad. Just means it's bad in one market. One heinously predictable market.
Well, I always remember, there's a good example of this. I don't remember the damn movie, but there's this movie that was extremely popular in Europe and Great Britain about a guy who finds a kid living in Africa, and he brings him back home to England and raises him as his own son, and the kid gets into all sorts of hijinks and craziness, and, you know, some jungle boy, Tarzan riff, and it was a massive, huge blockbuster all over Europe. And they brought the movie over here, and it tanked. It's like, okay, it's because it's an entire European cast. They remade the movie line for line, shot for shot with Tim Allen. Put the movie back out, and it tanked again. It's like, well, that was a waste of time.
well, there's your problem there, Tim Allen.
Yeah. An example I like to use is Grindhouse. When Grindhouse came out, it was a double feature here. Like, it was a double feature in a lot of places.
So beautiful.
I went to it three times because it's a double feature, and I love Rodriguez, and I love Tarantino. So I'm going to throw money at it. And I'm sitting in the theater every time, and you hit the midpoint. You hit their intermission that if you wanted to get up and miss the cool previews, you could, but why would you?
Well, then you wouldn't have found out about a hobo with a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly. But there were people who were getting up, and they're walking out of the theater, and they're bitching, and they're like, this isn't the movie I thought it was at all. I thought this was supposed to be a car.
Oh,
and I'm like, you know it's a double feature, right? What? The car movie is second. Oh, well, that's stupid. And they just keep walking. And it's like, you paid for a movie. You didn't like it because you didn't realize the film you were paying for was a double feature. And you bitch? Like, this is it. This is the way North America works. A lot of people, it's very specific in its target audience. I mean, people like Transformers. This is the only time I'm going to bring it up. It made a big bunch of bank, but anytime in the build-up to this, people are like, oh, it just looks like a Transformers movie. I've already seen Transformers. I'm not going to go see this. And it's like, you douchebag.
Well, and then there's like the 20% of anime fans were like, this is just an Ava ripoff. And I'm like, shut up. Ava was an Ava ripoff.
Yeah. Ava ripped off Ideon and a bunch of other stuff that came before it. Like... If you really want to be a jackass, go look at Gunbuster and be like, this is an homage to everything that predated it. Deal. Fuck off.
Except that people, that creative people, absorb other content. They absorb other media. They absorb other things in their own media. And it shows in their thing. That's Tarantino's entire career.
Yup. It's nothing but references. That's all this is. I love Pacific Rim. It's a great movie. And I know I will watch it repeatedly. It is full of little references if you know where to look.
Right. I didn't get the majority.
Old school anime.
Yeah.
I don't get the majority of those references. As I said, Japanimation, that's some great stuff. Hope you kids are liking it. But it's like the end result, the end product was sublime. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I have friends who are planning to, cosplay Gypsy Danger. You know,
they're just
working on getting. I know a dude who's just, it's scary how good he does this stuff.
You know a guy who knows a guy?
I know a guy who built an alien power lifter.
Nice.
Yeah. It was so sublime. So yeah, he fell in love with the movie. He says he's going to cap it at seeing it 12 times. So
at least until the Blu-ray comes out.
Then, of course.
Yeah. And Blu-ray, then watch it every night for a week.
This is the type of movie. Should I ever have children, I would show this to a kid. Like, I saw Godzilla, the 1986 cut of it. I was three reasonably when it came out, so I didn't see that one. But I remember watching Godzilla as a child. I was like 4 years old, and it's always a standout memory because I remember seeing him just wreck shit. And when you're a kid, you don't understand the elaborate plot meaning. You don't understand Godzilla as force of nature and symbolism of war and nuclear conflict and everything. All you see is a big rubber costume kicking the shit out of buildings and having an absolute day of it. So yeah, I honestly think a kid would enjoy this movie.
One of the things I heard was that each of the kaiju was designed so that they would look like they could be a guy in a rubber costume.
Yeah.
And I think that was fairly successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Snake one, I can't see a guy in that costume.
I could see a guy. It would be prop work. Like, you would have two to three people. Slattern specifically would probably have three people in it. It would be designed very much like the Alien Queen at the end of Alien.
Mecha Shiva.
Yeah. Like, you would need multiple people in it. But that's about it. Most of them, yeah. I can see one or two people being inside that thing just to facilitate movement, upper body versus lower body, stuff like that. Big crazy heads, but I mean, the only time that's ever been an issue is when one of those got lit on fire during Godzilla.
My first Godzilla movie I ever saw was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
Oh, and God, Godzilla versus Hedorah?
Yeah. Cool. I turned away when the kitten died.
Oh, God, not the kitten.
But, yeah. You really hated him after that, because Destroy All the Cities you want, but dude, you kitten. Killed a kitten.
Didn't kill a kitten.
Didn't he?
Yeah, kitten, man. Yeah. You don't walk away from that.
There's just
how many times do I have to kill that girl and her dog?
Enough. Enough. You have to kill her enough. You goddamn emo piece of shit. You can't even blow up your fucking robot properly.
And with that, I think we're going to call it an episode.
Woohoo! Huzzah!
All right.
Thank you very much for having me out, Scott.
No problem.
It has been a distinct pleasure, man. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Excellent.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under an International Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike Creative Commons License version 3.0. Please visit sbopodcast.blogspot.com for more episodes and contact information. Thank you.